mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you live a good life. A lot of people would agree with this sentiment. But in his message to the Church of Smyrna, the Lord warns us that what we believe does matter. If we are trying to lead a good life, but we do not learn to approach the Lord alone, we will have to undergo hard things in the other life. We will need to be set free from our wrong ideas before we can be raised into heaven and receive the crown of life. There were seven churches to whom the Lord wrote letters in the book of Revelation. Each one symbolizes a common state in the Christian world. Smyrna represents people who are leading a good life, but have serious flaws in their thinking, especially the idea that Jesus Christ is not necessarily the one God. Do we have this problem? Surely we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as our God. It is the main idea in New Church doctrine. But in every non-regenerate state, there is a tendency to separate the Lord's divine from his human. We are inclined to keep the divine at arm's length, an abstract force up there. It's more comfortable to think of Jesus Christ as a kind man, but without divine authority, than as God. The Lord said to the church of Smyrna, "I am the first and the last." But we have a tendency to divide the first, the Lord's divine, from the last, his human, that touches our lives. We can see this separation creating tensions in the church. Some people love to emphasize doctrine, holy rituals, and traditional ways. Others focus on personality, on being nice, and down-to-earth ways of worship. To the extent that we do not keep reading the Word together and concentrating on the life of charity, unhappy divisions can arise over such things. It's because of our separating the first from the last in the Lord. So we can see that the Lord's message to Smyrna has application to us. It is a common problem for people to be unclear about who Jesus Christ was and is. They may not deny his divinity exactly, but they do not have a clear idea that he is the one God, their God. So the Lord calls himself the one who was dead and is alive, meaning that people have disregarded him in the Christian churches as though dead, approaching God the Father instead, when yet he alone is alive and is the source of eternal life for us. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and go out and find pasture." The writings say, the primary falsity of those who are described by this church is that they do not acknowledge the Lord's divine humanity and therefore do not approach him. They do not pray to him. They do not turn to him for help and guidance. They do not think in terms of obeying the commandments because the Lord Jesus Christ says so, and so that they can follow him. Still, the Lord is calling such people, including us, to his new church. We will come into the holy city as we learn to approach the Lord. But what is the issue here? What difference does it make how a person thinks of the Lord, provided he or she leads a good life. The difference is the motive. The Lord says to each of the churches, I know your works, meaning that he alone sees all of our inner and outer qualities all together. And in relation to the Smyrna state, the Lord sees affliction and poverty, spiritually wrong principles, and therefore a lack of genuine goodness. These people say they are rich in good works, but the Lord sees otherwise. The Lord says, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, that is, who say they are true members of the Lord's church when they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The synagogue is where the rabbis taught doctrine and life. Satan stands for the hells of falsity, so the synagogue of Satan is the teaching of falsity in the church. The writings give us examples of the false beliefs of this state, all relating to a lack of a clear belief in the Lord. If we picture God as a remote, unknowable, perhaps judgmental force, then we tend to believe that we all do our good works from ourselves because God is far away. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to repent so that our sins may be forgiven. But as self-examination and repentance is rather uncomfortable, especially if we're not used to it, many people assume that they can do what is truly good without self-examination and repentance. They may believe that the good deeds they do balance out or excuse any bad things in their lives, whatever they might be. They don't know. Some Christians actually believe in three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This belief is not much more help to them than belief in no God, because there is no one with whom they may have a growing closeness, no one to whom they feel accountable for their lives, and to whom they look for guidance and strength. Many so-called Christians are not too sure that Jesus was God. They think of him as a prophet or a wise teacher or a guru, perhaps like Martin Luther or John Wesley. If we don't see that the divine itself is within the Lord, like the soul in the body, so that the Lord is the one divine human being, then we cannot look to him as our Creator and Savior. And if we don't look to him, whom do we worship? An invisible Father whom no one has ever seen and no one can see? How can we be conjoined with someone we cannot know? All these cases leave us on our own, thinking and acting from ourselves. All these beliefs leave us with no objective way to identify evils in our lives and turn away from them as sins against God. The result is that all our good works are either pharisaical, that is, hypocritical, or meritorious, or merely natural good. Our works are not true spiritual good, which is preparing us to become angels and drawing us closer to the Lord. To the extent that God is remote from us, we cannot act from him or for him, so we act on our own behalf. We don't know any eternal reasons for choosing one action over another. We don't know what God thinks or whether it matters to him. We are left choosing our actions on the basis of what we feel like doing at a certain time, or what others will think and how they may reward or punish us, or whatever seems right and good in our eyes. People suggest that one may act for the good of society or for the good of the earth or of the human race without believing clearly in God. But the Word says that the Lord God is the one only source of unselfish, truly good motives. If we do not turn to him, especially by shunning evils as sins against him, our motives cannot be purified from selfishness. This does not mean that we would necessarily go to hell. The Lord is calling people who are trying to live a good life, but have taken up wrong beliefs. In this letter to Smyrna, he warns them to brace themselves for hard times, which will be necessary to break free from their false beliefs. He says, "Fear none of those things which you will suffer. Don't despair and give up. It's going to be hard for a while, but it's the only way forward. Behold, the devil will throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and you will have affliction 10 days. These trials do not usually happen in this life, but in the spiritual world. People who have confirmed themselves in wrong beliefs, such as worshiping God the Father and not the Lord, but are still trying to live a good life, go through more severe experiences than those who are less confirmed in them. It feels like prison to them because they want to do what is right and good, but they are surrounded with evils. The evil spirits bring out all their false beliefs, various ways in which they have denied the Lord in belief and life, and blame and condemn them. Meanwhile, the Lord draws out the true and good things of their life and delivers them. It feels like a war going on inside themselves, and it carries on as long as they want to remain in their false beliefs. For the Lord never takes falsities away from a person against his will, but with his will. The Lord encourages us, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." We need to keep trying to learn what is true and worthy of our faith all through our lives, especially through hard times or temptations. Gradually, if we are willing, we will come to see that only the Lord is good and true. We will see that He is the one who gives us victory in temptations, the crown of life. We will not have to go through such trials ever again. The Lord will keep us safe from the second death, the eternal death of hell, and the miserable influence of falsities and evils. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the Church of Smyrna? We can see how important it is for us to keep learning from the Lord's Word and not assume that we know enough. Men especially need to beware of the pride in their own intelligence so that we don't turn away from the Lord when He has something to say to us. We want to acknowledge the Lord as the first and the last in our lives, both the infinite, almighty God and the man who came down into the world to be the one divine human being, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always with us. Only those who approach the Lord, love the truths of the church, and do its goods can come into love truly conjugal and be in it, in the marriage of good and truth. Only the Lord in His divine human can lift us out of the pride of our own intelligence and the lust of dominating our partner. If we approach Him, He can lead each of us into a humble, innocent relationship with Him and so with each other. We want to practice real repentance, asking the Lord to show us what evils we especially need to flee and give us the strength to overcome them. Then the Lord promises our motives will be purified a little each and every day. When we speak with friends who are unclear about who Jesus is, we can be patient and grateful that the Lord is calling them to His new church. We can support their love for God and their respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can let them see that we too look to the Lord in our lives. Gradually, the Lord will form in each of us a marriage of a good life with a true faith. He will prepare us to enter into the New Jerusalem, His bride and wife, and be with Him there. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.